B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
49 seconds remaining as the puck is rocketed in. Bergeron will collect.
And now you got to figure how to get Rask out of here. You got the bodies on the ice that you want. As soon as you get possession coming up the ice, Rask is heading to the bench now.
And out at center ice, we've got a penalty.
You're going to be for slashing the stick out of somebody's hands? That's...
Let's take a look. Marchand is giving it to Dan O'Rourke. Got to be careful.
It's an interference call, but it's just a...
Marchand.
Chernock drops his stick, or got the stick knocked out of his hands. Hold on to your stick. He's coming across the blue line. There's Marchand. Just one hand on his stick. A little chop down to it. And they're going to call an interference call on that.
A lot of people didn't like the call. I know. I don't like the rule either. You grow up playing hockey, they teach you to hold on to your stick. You're responsible for that. I get that, but that's not what they do in the NHL anymore. It's now a rule. If you slash the stick out of the guy's hands, you're going to the penalty box. And Marchand does it, I don't know, 80 feet away from the play with nothing at stake just to do it?
Again, needless. It was needless. It was completely needless.
Bob Beers with the call right there, Bobby. I agree it's a bad rule. I agree we were all taught, you played, really. You know, but anyone who played hockey was taught, hold on to the stick. But it's not the way. They also taught you in youth hockey to keep your head up through the neutral zone. You don't need to do that anymore now because you can't hit people with their head down through the neutral zone. That's adjudicated. It's a different game. Now you don't need to hold on to your stick. You're not allowed to slash it out of his hands. Never mind in front of the entire arena and the back ref. Down a goal with the goalie coming out. We're fighting for your life. So, no. Bad penalty. Not a bad call. Bad penalty.
A really horrible decision. There was no need to do it. I mean, he did it just to be a pest. That's why he did it, just to be a pest.
So,
and it cost him.
Okay, so there's your Bruins thoughts. Mixing your calls with Gronkowski. Scott and Weymouth on the Bees. Go, Scott.
What's up, Felger? I'll keep it quick, kid. First of all, boom, Northeastern, congratulations. Hockey's champions. Going to be fun, the NCAA. Marchand, I don't like him. I never did. I never will. He's selfish. He's dirty. Two quick hockey takes. The Bull Gang, get ready. Celtics and Bruins are going to play into...
I'm just going to stop you there.
Just the worst.
Two of your three sucked. I don't know how you can't like Marchand, but there's this whole thing that, I don't know, when he...
Plays with an edge, and when he goes over it, it's normally pretty stupid and it costs the team.
Right. When he does something stupid that costs your team, you should be allowed to say it. And you should be able... I mean, I value Marchand tremendously on this team. He's a tremendous player.
He really is. He's terrific. But the part of the reason this year has been so refreshing in a lot of ways, there have been very few incidents like that. And look, he didn't cheap shot anyone.
No, this is not a cheap shot. This is just sort of...
It's just dumb.
Just sort of losing your cool a little
bit. It's just stupid.
It's stupid.
It's dumb. It's needless. There was no reason to do it. None. All he had to do was skate around the guy. That's all he had to do.
I don't think he was gaining anything from it.
He didn't gain anything from it. Like, it was totally stupid. When they showed the replay of it, I went, you got to be kidding me. That cost him Marchand on the ice in the final 40 seconds?
It cost him a man. It could cost him the man advantage.
It was unbelievable. Like, what a stupid mistake.
Ryan in Boston. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. So we're talking about last night, tough game, but I just want to highlight the defense. I mean, we had McAvoy, you guys touched upon it about a bunch. Just going up, not getting back. And then also Stephen Camp. Have you guys seen a worse slap shot on a guy in the NHL? Guy's got a better muffin than Modern Bakery.
So listen, I'm not going to get on him for Stephen Camper and Clifton and guy. Those are their eighth and ninth defensemen.
It's roster filler. That's what that game really showed me. Like, if they got to get over this team, like the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs, they need to have Greslick and Miller. Like, that's what they missed terribly last night.
No question. No question. And throw Krug on the list.
Krug, right.
Yeah, sure.
Krug. With a full defense, when you're fully healthy, Grizzlick's your seventh guy in the box and, you know, upstairs. Like, that's decent depth. That's okay. I'm okay with their, you know, it's not their fault. Three guys were banged up. So I'm not going to get on for Connor Clifton and those kind of guys. And Clifton actually showed a little something. What they also need is Fenefesi there on the second line. Carson Kuhlman, I'm forgetting his name as well. They got to get this Johansson back. you know, and give Krejci something to play with again. Krejci's sort of disappeared here in the last week or so.
I mean, he did make a great play last night, though. That little chip in the setup of the Carlo goal.
Yes, it was.
That was a terrific play. The guy to me that was also invisible last night was DeBrusque. I thought he was a zero last night. He was hard to even notice.
While we're piling on, did you like Danton Heinen's game?
Well, so he's another one.
I don't. You need to speak up. I couldn't hear that.
Shh. I'm sorry. Did you like Danton Heinen?
Another quiet. Well, you know.
I think he was involved in one goal, actually.
And was he on the with Backes and?
I think that was the one. Backes actually made a good play. The coil.
Overall, for what they had, they were okay. They gagged in the third. You can't lose a two-goal lead when the two goals you give up are when you had the odd man rush. Both game plays, you had 3-on-2s and 4-on-2s, and the puck ends up in your net?
I mean, the littlest slip-up like that with Tampa, when those two goals happened, I went, oh, my God.
Again, go back to the 4-on-2 with Carlo. The guy thinks, I think he thinks he's Mike Bossy. He misses the net, and then he floats behind, like for some reason he keeps floating behind the thing like he's Pavel Bure or something.
I'll go back and watch it.
Get back.
He did, he missed the net, he pulled a Peverly on that one is what he did.
Brian and Lynn, hi Brian.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good.
So, Marchand, I'm starting to think that his line mates need to be held accountable as well. Patrice Bergeron, leader of this team, needs to put him in place. Some of these things he does during the season is going to hurt them in the postseason.
So I think you're right. I think on balance, he's had a better year this year with that stuff. You know, I said earlier, like a couple weeks ago.
He's had a good year with that stuff.
Yeah,
he's generally been idiot-free.
He's barely done hardly anything. I'm trying to think, did he even come up for review on anything? Like I thought he had, but he hasn't been suspended or fined or anything, which is a minor miracle. Most fined and suspended player in the league. So, like, good. He didn't lick anybody. He didn't stick his tongue down anyone's throat. He didn't try and hurt anybody. He just sort of hurt his team with a...
stupid play.
Unnecessary cheap little
play. No, it was dumb. There was no need to do it. Again, it was dumb. There's just no other word for it. It was needless and it was stupid and it cost them.
Jim in Norton on the Patriots in the tight end spot. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon. Has anyone thought of reaching out to Martellus Bennett where they have signed his brother now?
Yes, they did, and he's out. I don't know if they reached out, but...
Bennett made an announcement on Instagram last week. He's done.
Thank you. I was away, so there was some sort of definitive word on that. He just said he's done.
Yeah.
I didn't love. I think Martellus Bennett was overrated when he was here. He was a fine player, but I don't think he was a different. I mean, like I don't think he was special. In other words, I think you could have gotten that production from a lot of different guys.
Well, you got to remember when he was here, he was an insurance policy. That as an insurance policy, it's fine because if you get to that stage, you say, okay, now at least you have something that is reasonably functional and can catch something every once in a while. But as a regular guy, 16 games. The thing that worries me now is looking at their depth chart.
No. It's, again,
scary. Scary.
It is terrifying. I tried to do it yesterday.
Starting receivers, Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett. Behind them,
Bruce Ellington, Maurice Harris.
Braxton Berrios.
I forgot about all those guys.
The freaking lollipop guild of wide receivers.
What's his name? Damone Peterson, yeah, whatever the hell his name
DeMoon
is.
DeMoon Patterson.
Yeah.
He's behind Slater on the depth chart. So I don't have high hopes for DeMoon. My personal opinion. And the tight ends.
Oh, woof.
Jacob Hollister. Something named Steven Anderson, as you would say. Matt Lacoste. Again, I think Bill signed him because he thought his name was Lacrosse. And Ryan Izzo.
Izzo's kid.
I think they all suck. All four of them. And I'm not sure they have two receivers, let alone four or five. Like, I look at that and go, holy crap. Listed as a starting left tackle, Patriots.com, Isaiah Wynn. So, fine, but he's already the starting left tackle. He's never played a game in the league.
They have a lot of work.
Holy mackerel, do they ever. Like, I look at it and go, that is scary.
Phil and Malden. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Welcome back. Gronkowski, nobody likes the OTAs and the training camp and preseason. I think he's going to come back maybe in the second or third game of the season.
Okay, Phil. I don't doubt that he might want to, but I think Maz hit on a good point early on, and I think not enough people are considering this. Is Bill going to let him? Is Bill going to let, it's enough that now Bill's got to stand by as the owner makes personnel decisions and gives the green light for players to miss OTAs. You know, when Brady misses a passing camp and Robert Kraft comes out and says, well, he's got business interests. What do you want? Bill's got to now put up with that. Now he's got to put up with the owner saying, yeah, Bill, if he comes back in week 7, we're going to let him back.
You know, I wonder, too.
I mean,
because
at some point, there's a tipping point for the coach.
Because Drew Rosenhaus made reference to it yesterday, right? And, like, I wonder, too, if it didn't come up already. And it was, well, Bill, how do you feel about the prospect of it? Bill said, thanks, but no thanks. So maybe the reason Rosenhaus is going public with it is like, hey, we're willing to do it. Let the world know we're willing to do it. If it doesn't happen, it's because of Bill.
Mike and Wilburn, I have a minute. I don't want to. I don't need the Inquisition. Just give me your take.
Okay. First of all, Grizzlick would be on your ice, on the ice. You had literally your 7, 8, 9 defensemen out there because Moore's been benched a lot of the year. I don't know if you recall this, but Moore's been a healthy scratch for a large portion of the season. You lose him. So now everybody's minutes, like, basically, they have to pick up the slack. And Kampfer got stapled to the bench in the third. That's the real reason why you see playoff-caliber minutes, like top-pairing playoff-caliber minutes for Chara, for Carlo, and for McAvoy. And it was concentrated in the third period. And that's where the fitness, when you have it that like, 27 minutes spread out over the entire game, it becomes a little different than when you have it, you know, concentrated in a period and a half.
So you're giving McAvoy a break on that, is what you're saying?
I'm giving him a little bit of a break. I'm not giving him a break on not getting back and covering Kucherov and not, you know, covering Hedman on the rebound. That's just effort. That's just effort. But on him getting that late penalty, I think he was just overpowered because he was spent. On the stick lift, do you remember when Chara sent Schlieffe's stick against Winnipeg into the ionosphere?
I don't remember the specific play you're talking about.
Chara stick lifted Mark Schlieffe's stick when Winnipeg was on a power play when Schlieffe was in the slot. No penalty.
Okay, so but hold on, Mike. Is a stick lift the same as a slash? A stick lift,
in my opinion, if you're whacking the guy's stick out of his hand and he doesn't have the puck, he was in the slot. He just lifted his stick and launched it into the what? Go watch it, and you tell me if that, by your definition, wouldn't be interference nowadays. It's inconsistently called, and I do not fault Marchand for trying to get a little bit of a freaking edge with 30 seconds left in a meaningless game.
Okay, about 55 seconds left. And is it called consistently? Well, that I can't tell you that. I mean, nothing's called consistently, so fine. But you watch a lot of hockey. Anyone who does, if you slash the stick out of the guy's hand, it gets called. Yeah, 100% of the time, probably not. A lot of the time. And I don't know what sort of advantage he's even gaining there.
No, to me it was needless. Again, there was no reason to do it. Not at that stage. He was circling around the guy. He could have blown right around him. I mean, to me, there was no reason to do it. It was a dumb play.
Okay, we got Gronkowski follow-up today. We've got Bruins on the board. How about a Red Sox minute? Because I don't know if you... Baseball season's begun, and I know it because the Baseball Reporters is now back on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 6 o'clock every night here with Tony Maz.
Don't miss it.
That's when you know baseball season's here. What's hot with the Sox with Maz right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, back to your Patriots and Bruins calls in a second, but baseball's here, and again, we know that because the Baseball Reporters has returned. 6 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and 98.5thesportshub.com, starring Maz and Murray. Premier edition was last night, Maz. What are Red Sox fans hot about right now?
Okay, so I would say the big thing is the contracts on Sale and Betts, but we'll get to the Betts one in a minute because, to me, that's really the big issue with the team, and it's going to be that way all year long. So a few things going on right now. First, Sandy Leon was optioned out. He got through waivers. I shouldn't say he was optioned out. He got through waivers. He's not accepted the minor league assignment. This means that Blake Swihart's on the roster and is going to be the second catcher. Okay? Now, this is not a big deal. I like Swihart. Anybody that's ever listened to me talk about him knows that.
So you like this move?
I do like the move. But I'm telling you, I'm surprised the Red Sox did it because Swihart comes with questions behind the plate We have to see whether he can do it. I'm surprised he's still on the roster. I didn't think he was going to make it through the year last year. He did. Now's the time to find out, though. You just won 119 games. You won a World Series. You've got nobody coming through the minor leagues. Your catchers can't hit. The rest of the league sucks. You should be able to fall out of bed and make the playoffs. Can we find out if the kid can catch? Can we find out in big league games and not in spring training or anything else? When actual situations of consequence in the seventh and eighth innings with the relief corps and whatever, can we find out? Now's the time. If you're not going to find out now, when are you going to find out?
Can I read the Dan Roach email quickly?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so we get emails every now and then from a baseball fan named Dan Roach. I never actually thought it was Roachy. Is it actually Roachy?
It is Roachy.
It's not another Dan Roach out there?
No, there probably is, but I think this is actually Roachy.
Because he says, the Red Sox just placed Sandy Leon on waivers, and here's why you should care. David, period, Price, period. And then he writes something up, but then just gives us the numbers. When Sandy Leon caught David Price last year, Price had a 2.37 ERA. When Vasquez caught him, he had a 4.68 ERA, and Swihart never caught him. So are you surprised that they moved Leon down when that was Price's guy?
Yes. I mean, a little bit, because again, if I had to guess, Cora wants Leon. Every manager wants a catcher who's solid behind the plate. The last thing any manager wants...
ruins the game.
Absolutely. It screws everything up.
Oh, my God.
Potentially undermines everything. So, but honestly, I'm glad they did it. Too bad. You got to find out on this kid. And with all due respect, Sandy Leon's of the world, dime a dozen. You can, even if Sandy Leon doesn't accept the assignment, becomes a free agent and goes to another organization, and he might. How did you get Sandy Leon?
That way.
Right, you plucked him from the Washington Nationals when no one had ever heard of him. You'll find some bum who can catch and call a game and who can't hit. That guy's out there. So I'm not worried about them losing Sandy Leon. I want them to take a gamble on Swihart and find out.
Item number two.
Red Sox are ruined.
Hey, Roachy.
Okay, now item number two, it comes to Cora, and I saw this comment that Alex Cora made the other day. When asked about the bullpen, how comfortable he was, Cora said, very. Very stuff-wise, we're good. There are certain guys that obviously that are working on a few things. Like I've been saying all along, we've got guys that have got stuff. Hard throwers, cutters, breaking balls, sinkers. Now it's up to me and the coaching staff to identify the matchups and use them. I'm very comfortable. So I hear that and I say, man, that sounds like a guy who's pretty cocky. Like when it comes to managing your bullpen, yeah, no, we got guys with stuff. I'll figure it out. I'm good. And I'm thinking, with those clowns? Really?
Here we go again.
So Cora's putting himself on the spot here a little bit. Like, no, now it's up to us. We're going to get the numbers. And this, again, it comes down to a lot of the analytics and the nerds that you're talking about. This guy doesn't hit the cutter well. This guy doesn't hit this pitch well. This guy's a higher third of the strike zone hitter, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to match it up that way and try to do this whole bullpen by committee. I want to see how this works. Because the guy in the dugout whom I like is starting to sound like Tony La Russa Jr. Really, like he's got all the answers now. You can give me 8 bums out there, all of whom can throw 95, and I'll figure it out because I'm that good. No manager's that good. You need the talent. You need guys who can throw strikes and spot the ball. So I think Cora's putting himself in a spot to be seriously second guessed.
You got a quick thought on that?
Are they going to beat Seattle, Mike?
Thank you, Roach.
Yeah, I got the WD-40 ready to go for a whole new wheel of gutless bumps.
Yeah, it's coming. I told Murray update it. Yep, it's coming. You didn't do it, did you?
No, we'll have it ready for tomorrow.
No, we're going to have it this week before the opener. Because again, as far as I'm concerned right now, the bullpen sucks.
How are we going to beat Seattle, Mike?
So the wheel of gutless bums has been reinstituted on the Baseball Reporters and therefore the Felger and Mazur will have a new wheel of gutless bums for you later in the week. Okay, as
the whole team sucks.
As it pertains to Mookie Betts, we touched on this yesterday. To me, it looks like he doesn't want to sign here, and the Red Sox have to get an answer on Mookie. They got to figure out whether this guy wants to be here or not. The question then becomes, what's he worth? And so the deals that are out there...
Meaning in a trade.
No. What he's worth in a contract and what you're willing to offer him to even keep him here. And all this money that's been thrown around this offseason, which has ranged from $260 million for Nolan Arenado to $426.5 million for Mike Trout over a variety of 8 to 12, 13 years. That's what Harper got, 13 years. So all these guys are basically in the $30 to $35 million range. And the more I look at it, I'm not giving Mookie Betts that money.
Then what?
I don't think he's the same kind of player. I really don't. And I know the numbers say he is, you know, close to all these OPS power numbers and slugging, if you want to go just by that, or on base. Mookie's in the ballpark with all of them. Okay, roughly speaking, he's got 230 home run seasons. And all these guys who got deals, Mike Trout, 6'2", 235, 6'2", 235 pounds. Machado, who I actually think Betts is better than, 6'3", 215.
I think Betts is better than Harper, too.
Bryce Harper, 6'3", 220.
Okay, what does he hit?
Okay, so Bryce Harper is...
What did he hit last year?
Career, he's 279.
Okay, last year he was in the 240s, wasn't he?
I think he got up closer to about 250 or 260 by the end of it. But he did. He had a bad year. He had a good second half. Even so, Harper's AAV is $25.4 million. Okay, 25.
Yeah, Boris porked him to get the final number.
Right, so they wanted the 13-year deal, but his AAV is only 25. Trout is $10 million more than Bryce Harper. And even Arenado with the Colorado Rockies, 8 years, 260, 32.5. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. Mookie's 5'9", 180.
So you don't like little guys?
I don't like little guys if I'm paying them $40 million a year or 35.
Maybe they should trade him.
So here's what's irritating the crap out of me about Mookie Betts. Is that
give me someone who's little and elite.
Okay, so 2 years ago, you know who everybody was comparing Mookie Betts to?
2 years ago?
Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, okay, we did this yesterday. Yeah.
And Andrew McCutchen won an MVP at age 26 with the Pirates.
Yep.
Okay, and everyone went, oh, he's like McCutchen. He's a lot like McCutchen, not a big guy. McCutcheon's 5'11", 195. You know what McCutchen has done in the last 3 years?
Ugh. Again.
263, 24 homers, 77 RBI.
Hey, he's a stiff.
He's a good player. He's not a great player. So is Mookie Betts Andrew McCutchen?
Give me a little elite guy. Come on. I mean, and Betts isn't little. Why do I have to treat him like Dustin Pedroia?
He's 5'9", 180.
Is he that small?
That's what it says on a Baseball Reference.
I don't think it's right.
I don't think it's right either, Rochie.
I do.
He's bigger than that.
Nope.
He's 5'9"?
Okay, so call it 5'10", 190.
Was it the same guy that measured Kyler Murray? Is he measuring Mookie Betts?
He looks like Kyler Murray.
No, he
doesn't.
He looks bigger than that.
No, he doesn't. I disagree. 5'10", 190, call him that. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 5'11", 195. Trout, 6'2", 235. Harper, 6'3", 220. Arenado, 6'2", 215. Mookie Betts is built to fade. Sorry,
nerds
he
out
is.
There, Sox fans and nerds. Yeah, I'm sure you can give me a whole list of guys who are Mookie Betts' size who are elite.
And here comes the Willie Mays comparison.
And if stayed elite, okay, Willie Mays, is he on the list? Good.
Yeah, but he played 60 years ago.
Nerds, I know you're out there, seam heads, just because I don't have it at the top of my head. And I could do the work, but, you know, I've got you. So give me a list of guys who are that size, who are elite, stay elite, and aren't just little flashes in the pan.
Mike.
Thank you, Rochie.
He'll lose his power fast is what I'm telling you.
There's your Red Sox thoughts. Add them to everything else to your calls after Murray's update.
That is a no doubt in my mind lie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boy, the list of little guys we're getting. I need something a little more modern. And yes, Mookie Betts might be the same size as Roberto Clemente and Joe Morgan and Willie Mays. Who else did you just mention to me off the air?
Yaz.
Like, I'm not talking about, I don't need you to compare Mookie Betts to the elite of the elite Hall of Fame. The best players that have, I'm not talking about Hall of Famers. I'm talking about like the real Hall of Famers. All those guys you just mentioned. And I'm just asking you to, a modern day ball player.
I'll give you an easy one. Altuve.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Altuve is like, isn't he like 5'5"?
Yeah, no, he's a tiny. Little fella.
I don't think he's that small.
Oh, he's small. He's tiny.
He's small.
Tiny.
It might be 5'7", whatever it is. He's small.
Oh, 5'6".
Okay. Yeah, he's little.
He's small. So
and that is a good one.
Yeah. So Altuve's a, you know, you want to tell me Mookie's like Altuve, fine. I think Altuve's $25 million a year. So I do have a bias against smaller guys in baseball. I do. I just think you look at these power hitters who can drive the ball out to the other field. They're all huge. Trout is a monster. And Bryce Harper is a monster. Like these guys are, and they're thick and they're strong and they're built to last. Mookie in 3 years is going to have like 14 homers. So that's a slight hyperbole.
So Maz ain't giving him the money. So then just quickly before I go to the phones, you're trading him. You're selling high. You're trading him now.
I would trade him now. They won't. I mean, to me, the best value you'd get for him would do it now. There's no way in a million years they'd ever do that.
To your calls.
I mean, if you can sign him, of course I'd take him. But I think what he wants is like borderline Trout money. I don't think he's worth that. I'm moving him at the end of the year.
To your calls on everything. Oh, wait a minute. First, I've been informed that we have breaking news.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Reading from Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, an update in regard to the Robert Kraft situation in Florida from Palm Beach County Court Records. Patriots owner Robert Kraft has waived his arraignment. He has pled not guilty to all charges, and he has requested a jury trial.
Oh, that's great. Now let's waste more people's time. Let's voir dire people for his happy ending. Oh, brother.
And if you wanted it to go away, good luck now, because this is just going to continue to have this story in the public eye.
So my question again then becomes, is this a procedural thing that is still part of the process and he can still plea it out by Friday?
I don't know.
Or Thursday, whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, he's doing good. Right, the arraignment is Thursday. He was never due to be there anyway, was he?
Right, correct.
So, but he did initially request a judge, you know, just the judge.
Right.
And now he wants a jury trial. Okay, so, all right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I showed up on day two in Peter's, my friend's Bentley. Inside of 3 minutes, I was naked on the table getting a... But it's a miscarriage of justice. I tell you, I'm being railroaded. Mr. Kraft, it's on film. Illegally placed. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. Can we now release the tape then, please? If we're going to waste more people's time, and let's go to the wall over the misdemeanor. Please, let's see the tape. I'm rooting now for the tape.
I mean, how can you not? Let's do it.
Let's go.
And so Murray's been on this from the beginning, too, in terms of the tape, and I think he's probably right, that ultimately that's going to be the determination as to whether or not Kraft agrees to a plea deal.
And then, by the way, I gave her a couple hundies on the way out. But this is a miscarriage of justice, I'm telling you. A miscarriage of justice, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Because I'm a good tipper. Had nothing to do with what went on in that room.
Is that what his defense is going to be?
Probably.
I'm just a good tipper?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I never even thought of that, but there you go. That was a tip. It wasn't, I guess I missed that. That was a tip. It wasn't an exchange of services. And how can you prove it? Okay.
I mean, it is. It's asinine,
no,
right?
No. If I'm prosecutors, I just release the tape. I do it. And I'm rooting for it now. I mean, I initially thought it would have been unfair to Robert to release the tape. Like, don't do it. But the more they lawyer up and go to the wall, and if they're going to go ahead with it, then let's just have a completely transparent process. Let's have a completely transparent process. Let everyone see the evidence. And if Robert wins, he wins. If he loses, he loses. But let's just, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, here comes the Patriot missile. Let's take a look. Okay? Let's do it.
I mean, if and when that tape is ready to come out, he'll plea. He'll plea out. The more I think of it, there's no way that tape is going to see the light of day. No way. Either they get it squashed or quashed, whatever. And then beyond that, if it does, if the judge is willing to allow it, he'll plea out and they'll suppress the evidence and that'll be it. It'll be over. There's no way Kraft wants us to see that tape.
Of course not.
No way. No, and there's no way we ever will. Because I just think one way or another, it's not going to be allowed.
Well,
now, if someone might leak it. So let me,
Yeah, if someone in the office gets, you know, meaning in the DA's office, or, you know, whatever, some low-level staffer somehow has access to it and can make $250,000, $1 million from TMZ, like that's how it gets out.
Absolutely. Yeah, that I allow for. I'm just telling you, through the process, the legal process, there's no way we ever see that tape. And if it does get leaked out, Like I told you, I think that's a lawsuit waiting to happen because that is police custody. That's a police video, right? This isn't some hotel camera that some guy who's emptying the trash cans near the elevators is stumbling upon and then releasing so he can make a few bucks. This is it's going to open up the Jupiter PD to a huge, huge lawsuit, I think, if that tape gets out. So I don't know. I have a hard time believing we're going to see that tape. That tape will ever see the light of day.
But either way, the thing goes away if he just admits to it. I mean,
what were you chuckling about uncontrollably over there?
Because Vinny's throw up a picture. I don't know if that's for our benefit or the world's going to see it. So sorry, it's not going to make TV. It's a totally harmless picture of the Patriots team playing. Just, I think, piggybacking on a comment I made earlier.
I gotcha.
I
just can't believe that this much has been made out of two misdemeanor charges. You know what I mean? Like, just
deny, accuse. Even on this, on misdemeanors that were going to be dismissed. And I said all he had to do was admit to it. He doesn't even really have to do that. All he has to do is provide language that says, I would have lost if this had gone to trial. So you're not even saying I'm guilty. You're not even really saying I did it. You're saying I would not have prevailed in court. Which you can still worm your way out of. You know, you can still say, well, yeah, I had to say I would have lost, but I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you can still say whatever you want. All you had to say is I would have lost in court. And the charges are dropped. And he just want to take his medicine? Doesn't want to, no accountability? Like, can't admit a mistake or whatever. Like, I find that frustrating. So, anyway, here we go, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Could get interesting.
Here we go. I mean, if he wants to take it all the way, the tape has to come out. It has to be, admitted as evidence. It has to, I would think. Anyway, we'll get to your phones on all of it with this. You can react to this as well right after these words from our sponsors.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Right back to your phones, as promised. We're just about to pick up where we had the breaking news. Josh in Weymouth on the Red Sox. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Maz. You are absolutely correct on Mookie Betts, by the way. I would not back up the Brinks trucks for him. But my main comment was about the bullpen, actually. I think Brazier is probably going to be your closer for the start of the year, and I think they can figure it out as they go. And I think that if the closer isn't on board right now, they can acquire one at the deadline. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I just...
Okay, so we're going to go to July 31st without a closer? Is that all right?
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. I think you might see them pull some kind of nonsense here for a little while. Now,
that long into the season? I mean, you said deadline.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't become so bad that, like, it's destroying your team, I think it wouldn't shock me if they did that. It wouldn't. Now, look, to me, Brazier's the guy. I have felt all along that I'd go with Brazier over anybody else. I just feel like he throws strikes the most consistently. So you want to tell me that he can't get lefties out or something? Fine. I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you. I'm telling you, of the guys they have, to me, Brazier's the best candidate.
We've got John in Alston holding on a Bruins thought. Hi, John.
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, the more I watch Charlie Coyle play, the more frustrated I am that he's not so much better than he shows on the score sheet. That goal yesterday he scored, I found myself swearing at the TV because it's so pretty, yet he only has two goals with the Bruins. Plus, he's, like, strong on the puck. He has that break down the right wing. He bullies his way down the right wing. He passes it to Heinen, who can't capitalize. But I just don't understand how the guy can't score goals, and then he can't back check when he has every single tool he wants an NHL player.
So, John, I'm with you 100%. He blew it on the back check on the Hedman goal. he was one of the guys that did not give full effort or sort of just lost his way on his way back up the ice. I mean, just do the math. They all got beat by a defenseman back up the ice. I mean, just that can't happen. And Coyle is part of it. But the overall point about something doesn't add up with the guy. Because he's big, skates really fluidly, he's strong on the puck. I don't think he's a Sally. Like, I think he goes into the corners and he puts his nose in there. This ain't Jimmy Hayes. And yet nothing shows up on the score sheet.
So you know who
he has good hands, as you saw last night. That goal last night was beautiful.
Oh, he was like poised. He just flipped it right up there. He's knockoff Nash. That's what he is. He's like Rick Nash at the end. Holds the puck a lot, A-frames it, keeps it away from you, skates well, just doesn't do anything with it.
Pete,
am I wrong?
No.
Like, I look at him, I say, he reminds me of what Nash was at the end.
No, but
he like, you look at him and say, he's big, they can't get the puck from him, he skates well, all of it, but it never results in anything.
I like his shifts. Like, that was a good shift, nothing happens. I like that shift, no points. That was a good game, nothing on the score sheet. I feel like that's what I felt from him so far. Pete in Delaware on the Kraft thing. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I guess I must be stupid. I don't quite understand this and where Kraft is going with this. First of all, he wanted the judge in the beginning because it gave him the best opportunity to get off. Now, because the judge said the video is allowed, now he's going to go to a jury where he has less of a chance to get off.
So hold on. He's going to the jury because the judge said the tape is going to be allowed?
The other day there was articles all over the place that the judge, Kraft's lawyers were upset because they're not going to suppress the video.
Right. Well, they said they haven't suppressed it. They didn't say they were going to release it. So, I mean, maybe.
But to be as evidence in a court trial.
Okay. I understand. So I get it. So maybe that is part of it. If me just putting my evidence in front of the judge is still not going to suppress the evidence, then we might as well go in front of a jury. I get it. Okay, fine.
But my only point is like, he's already basically, he did that apologetic thing. That's great. His lawyers acknowledge there's a tape. They're not saying there isn't a tape. So now we're going to go to a jury trial with peers that people are not going to be. He went to the judge. My point is he went to the judge because the jury wasn't his best choice. The guy's making this, it's crazy what he's doing. Just move on. Nobody wants to go through this.
I know. I mean, it's clear why. One is, he thinks the league will go easier on him, which I'm not sure of. Maybe it will, but I'd be stunned if he were there on opening night. I'll just put it like that. I think he's going to get a game no matter what, I think. Now, as Peter King said the other day, after being at the owners' meetings, that's probably happening either way, you know, in his view, and I would tend to agree with that. So it's, you know, he's still getting something from the league. I think in the here and now, it doesn't do himself any favors because I think it all looks weaselly that you try and lawyer up and warm your way out of something you're clearly guilty of, that you clearly did. No one likes that look, especially when you're a rich guy throwing your money around and your weight around. And it's like, no one roots for that guy, unless you're a Patriots honk, which you don't even count. It's like, no one with a brain roots for that guy. So he's not helping himself in the here and now. He thinks the league's going to go easy on him. I'm not so sure of it. Is it like a legacy thing? Like the first page of his Wikipedia, he doesn't want to say he was convicted on da-da-da. He wants it to be lower in his bio that says he was acquitted of charges of blah, blah, blah. Maybe. I mean, he's into the PR of it for sure. And maybe when you go into a future generation or time passes and people forget exactly what happened and the headline just reads was acquitted or charges were dropped, that sounds better than. But the fact is, it's going to be dropped anyway. If he admits, if he says he's going to lose a trial, they drop the charges. He won't have no charges. So he won't be found guilty or not guilty. It disappears.
But I suppose the level of cooperation then, you know,
I just don't know the
suggests
end game.
Guilt. Like, I don't know. I think it's got everything to do with the official sort of, you know, word on it at the end. And that the idea that he cooperated to have it legally drop when the fact is, look, to me, whatever happens legally doesn't change my opinion.
How could it?
Like, he was there, and he's basically admitted that he was there. That's what I took out of that apology. There was never any denial that he was there. So he absolutely is. And otherwise, what are you apologizing for? And he said, I'm sorry. For what? Because he knows he did something that made him look bad. And again, not in my eyes, but in the eyes of the world. So,
I'm just curious, because I just didn't put two and two together. This happened last week while I was away, right? The judge said that they wouldn't suppress the tape. It was a motion from the Kraft side that said we want you to suppress the evidence, and the judge denied that motion. So does that mean that they will release the tape at some point? And then Kraft says, fine, well, let's just have a jury trial. Or, you know, is that the back and forth?
Maybe.
Yeah. We've got Kevin in Rhode Island on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, hypothetically, picture this. Brady gets into training camp. He's got a left tackle that can't block. He's got receivers that can't get open. He looks at this team as one of the worst he's been around. What do you think he retires and shocks anybody?
Nope. I'm going to stop you. Nope. He's not going to do that to Robert. Okay? Nope. Not going to do that. Robert stepped in. That's why Tom Brady's here in the first place. And I've said this all last year. Brady's here. He's stuck. And he's going to have to take whatever crappy contract they give him. And that's what's going to happen. And whatever crap they give him at left tackle and tight end and receiver, he's going to have to accept. Because the owner stepped in and traded the next guy for you to still be here, so you're here, pal. He ain't going anywhere.
And he has said that he's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty definitively now. So I can't imagine that he's bailing.
I'm just curious, you know, whether they're good players or bad players or whatever, there's going to be a whole raft of new players. You know, a whole new depth chart at tight end. The 90% of the receivers are going to be different. Like, a whole new thing. Do you think it'd be okay if he showed up for passing camp this year just to, I don't know, introduce himself to those guys? So the first day isn't July 27th or whatever? Would that be? Or am I some sort of contrarian a-hole to even mention that?
No, you're a contrarian a-hole.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, he's still got Jules, right? So he and Jules can go throw in the bubble or over in Brookline or whatever.
Pine Manor, yeah.
Yeah, whatever they want. I mean, they don't need the rest of them. And so the rest of those clowns, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they want to invite Honey Nut Perrios over there and see if and let him into the group, let him into the party.
Okay,
I'm not holding my breath.
As usual, we got a nice range of topics. We'll continue with all of them. Just introduce one more thing, and that is a Celtics item. As the Celtics head to Cleveland tonight, where we can revisit a certain trade that was made by the Celtics a couple years ago. We'll do that right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.